I speak to you now in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. One of the songs from church that I remember most vividly from my childhood is the 19th century revivalist hymn that's sung in many summer camps still, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done." In this hymn we sing, "To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin and opened the life gate that we may go in." And then the refrain after every verse goes, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. O come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Remembering and praising God for the great things he has done, just as this hymn encourages us to do, runs through all of our readings from Holy Scripture today. What are the great deeds that God has done? We begin with the Exodus. We hear in Deuteronomy, "We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord showed signs and wonders great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and his household before our eyes. He brought us out from there." It's the same story that we're told in Psalm 66. God turned the sea into dry land so that they went through the water on foot. Therefore, in him let us rejoice. And the Apostle Peter expands on this story of the Exodus and connects it to our new life with Christ in our New Testament reading. "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." These stories of God's deed all speak of a God who makes impossible things possible, who creates hope out of nothing, who creates a nation of kings and priests out of slaves. God led these people without weapons against the mighty armies of Pharaoh, turning the sea into dry land as he delivered his people from slavery and bondage into freedom. Peter unites this story with Christ and all that God has done for us in him. God is building us up on the living stone rejected by men, who is Jesus Christ, to be a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, a people of God's own possession, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And all of these witnesses from Scripture to God's saving deeds in history find their unity and fulfillment in our reading from John's Gospel this morning. Of all the great deeds in history done by God for us, none stands greater than these promises made by the great I Am himself, as Jesus Christ tells his closest followers that in his Father's house there are many rooms, and that he has already gone and prepared a place for them, and that he will come again and take them there himself, that where he is, they may also be. And Jesus continues this good news to his disciples, telling them that they already know the way to where Jesus is going. Now Thomas asks, as Thomas would, how this can possibly be, since they do not know where Jesus is going. But Jesus' promise that they know the way remains true because they know him. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Many of us might hear the word way and imagine that a life of faith following after Christ is like any other way that we have known before from the rest of our life. And so with the eyes of Thomas, we might ask, "What must I do to get into the Father's house, Jesus? What equipment do I need to buy? What do I need to subscribe to? Point me to the way and I will walk there myself." But the way that Jesus speaks of is the way back to his Father, and it does not work like this at all. Now, Philip's question basically asks how this is possible. He requests that Jesus show him the Father so that they might believe. And in his search for proof, Jesus rebukes Philip, saying, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know who I am? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus and the Father are one, so that the authority through which Jesus teaches and speaks in this lesson and always is his Father's. And these words he speaks glorify the Father. And so to know rightly who Jesus is, we look to him and see God the Father. To know who God the Father really is, all we need to do is look to Christ. And when we do that, we see that the way to God has been brought to us, who hear these words today and stand in the place of these followers of Christ. We're ultimately destined not by our circumstances, whatever those circumstances might be, but we are ultimately destined to live as God's children in his house in a place prepared for us. And the way to that place has already been made for us who know Jesus Christ, the one we come to know through the word preached, the broken bread, and the work of the Holy Spirit. And so as we hear today these records of God's saving deeds in history, we are not just receiving some kind of religious inspiration to get us through a hard time. These are the very stories pointing to the desires and the power of God that have nourished his people through wars, through famine, through pestilence, plague, and through holocausts. To the eyes of the world, they may not be much at all, providing at best shallow optimism that seems out of touch with reality. But as followers of Christ, we hear in these stories the way, the truth, and the life for all of us. To us who believe, he is precious. God's final deliverance of his people is not ultimately from the power and authority of Pharaoh or whatever form Pharaoh takes in our own time. It's a deliverance from that unholy trinity of sin, death, and the devil, as it's called in the New Testament. And it's on the other side of the wild and unruly sea that we walk through, where we find a room for ourselves in our Father's house with many dwellings. And the way there is Jesus Christ. O come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.